but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, we've been talking a lot about Oregon and Penn State, whiteout game on today's show. Great guests on today's show. Appreciate everybody who's tuned in. My co-host on Canzano and Wilner, the podcast, is John Wilner of the Bay Area News Group. You can find his work at wilnerhotline.com. I encourage you to check that out. He's joining us now. Look, we talked about this earlier in the week. You really like Penn State in this Penn State-Oregon game. Why?
I do. I think it is a gigantic jump in talent for the Ducks' rebuilt offensive line and for Dante Moore, right? He doesn't have that much experience. And what the Oregon has faced so far this year, even with the road trip to Northwestern, I mean, Penn State is a whole nother league. And I think it's going to put pressure on Oregon in areas that have not faced that kind of pressure. They're loaded. Penn State is loaded. They got NFL players all over their defense. Jim Knowles, their defensive coordinator, was at Ohio State last year. He got two cracks at Oregon. He's had 2 weeks to prepare. The environment is going to be as tough as any in college football, a night game at Beaver Stadium. Communication for Oregon's offensive line is going to be difficult because it'll be so loud. I just think it is a little too much for the Ducks right now, but it's only September, and they've got plenty of road open, win or lose, later in the season to get where they want to go.
There's been a recalibration that we had to make with this extended playoff and what Ohio State did a year ago. And I kind of wonder, Wilner, Oregon would never say this, but do you think down deep Oregon would love to rather host a first-round CFP game rather than be 13-0 and be undefeated in the one seed in the bracket again?
I certainly think they should. And I even opined last year, late in the season, Oregon ought to lose. They'd be better off losing the Big Ten championship and getting a home playoff game. The home playoff game is a value to a university that can't be compared to anything else. And it also is a competitive advantage for the football team on two fronts. You get a home game, but you also don't have the 3.5 week bye that really hurt Oregon last year against Ohio State. Now, you can't lose on purpose, obviously, but if you're the Ducks, I think 10-2 and a nice sweet spot seed 5, 6, 7, 8, where you get the home playoff game, that is what they want.
Wilner, the game on NBC, Oregon Penn State, will go head to head with Georgia and Alabama on ABC. That is a big time SEC game. How big a weekend is this in your mind with the top 25?
I think I haven't looked closely, but I think it is the biggest weekend of the year other than, you know, rivalry weekend at the end of November. There might also be an early November weekend, the Alabama LSU weekend that's pretty good. But to me, this is probably the best. It's not just Penn State, Oregon up against Alabama, Georgia at 4:30. You know, you've also got some big time games at 12:30, right? I believe LSU Ole Miss is at 12:30 on ABC at the same time. Washington, Ohio State. Then you got, you know, it starts off with USC, Illinois on Fox. In fact, I'd actually say it's a good Friday lineup, too. You got, TCU at ASU, potential Big 12 contenders there. And then you got the really interesting Houston-Oregon State game also on Friday. This is going to be as good a weekend as it gets, really, for college football fans.
You mentioned Washington at Ohio State at Washington. Damon Williams Jr., I think, gives Washington a chance. I'm not ready to climb out on that limb that Rick Neuheisel's out on and pick the Huskies to upset, but how do you see that matchup, Buckeyes-Huskies?
I think it is going to actually be somewhat of a defensive struggle. I think Ohio State is really good on defense, and I think Washington is good enough on defense to give the Buckeyes a little trouble. This is the first road game for Ohio State this season, which means it's the first road start for quarterback Julian Sayin. And, you know, Husky Stadium is not an easy place to play. So I think it's going to be really close. I'm not going to agree with Neuheisel, but I can see why he would say that. This has the makings to me of like 24-20 or something like that, real competitive all the way. The thing for Washington is there are two players they have to know where they are every second of every minute, which is Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State receiver, and Caleb Downs, Ohio State safety. Those guys can change a game in an instant, and if the Huskies are aware and have game planned for those guys, they'll be okay.
How do you sort of rate the quarterback at Ohio State? You know, he hasn't been in a tough environment. He hasn't been on the road. You know, he's passed every test. He's looked phenomenal. He's completing like 80% of his passes. But this is a different animal across time zones against Washington. Is that a factor in this game at all to you, the freshman quarterback?
Yeah, I think it is for sure. It will be a different environment. Yes, Texas, more talented defense than Washington. But the environment, Husky Stadium, will be something unlike that Sayin has experienced. As a starter, how's he going to deal with – there's going to be just a few moments where he's going to be uncomfortable. How's he going to manage those uncomfortable moments? Is he going to force a pass? Is he going to try to lunge for the extra yard and risk a fumble? Is he going to be aware of the backside rush and a strip sack? Those little things here, they're not little, but they're these brief moments could really have a big impact on the outcome of the game. The other thing I'd say is special teams. If the Huskies are kind of sharp and locked up on their special teams, I think that also gives them a great chance to have this game be down to the wire.
We saw Lincoln Riley and USC maybe pass a little bit of a test against Michigan State at home. They get another one with Illinois. Big game for the Trojans. How do you see USC, Illinois?
Big game, long trip, early game. In fact, USC had the latest game last weekend, right? Because they didn't finish the Michigan State game until I think it was 11:57 p.m. Pacific. And now they got the first game on this Saturday. Welcome to the Big Ten. So I think they've got the talent, but how are they going to manage the long flight, the early kickoff? They did not play a 9 a.m. game last year. UCLA did, Oregon did, Washington did. The Trojans did not. So this is their first experience with something like this, and it's different. So how are they going to handle it? Illinois is not as talented as USC, but they're well coached. They're coming off an absolute, you know, stomping at Indiana, so they'll be fired up. I kind of like USC, but I also feel like let's see the Trojans deal with a road game and win a road game. They were 0-4 in the Big Ten last year on the other side of the country, so I'm curious to see how they respond to the logistics and the environment.
You are obviously tracking things that are going on in the Pac-12 conference. I reported earlier this week that it'll be a 7-game conference schedule for the new World Pac-12 in 2026. They're looking at some scheduling arrangements with some group of five conferences. They are perhaps considering a home-and-home series as a fallback if they can't get games together. Where do you stand on all of that? What should the Pac-12 do in 2026?
Well, they certainly should not force another football member, if it doesn't fit, just to get the schedule. Right. I mean, there's a lot more to the membership calculation and there's nothing that really fits. I think that the flexibility is the most important thing because the landscape is changing. The other conferences are altering their schedules. There's going to be a ripple effect downstream on game cancellations, on teams needing to fill spots. To me, the Pac-12 should be as flexible as it can for as long as it can. If it only means setting a schedule for one season, then yeah, commit to it. But if I were them, I would not lock myself into anything with a conference schedule that extends out into the late in the decade.
The idea that you're associating yourself, let's say if it is an arrangement with the Sun Belt or the MAC or Conference USA or even the American, the fact that you associate yourself with traditional G5, Group of Five conferences, is that a bad look for the Pac-12? Or how does the scheduling model with some conferences going to nine games? Yeah.
If it's not the best look for the Pac-12, but it's really the only reasonable look. I mean, they're not going to get a scheduling agreement with any of the Power Four conferences. And I do wonder, you know, Sun Belt's good. American's good. The competitively, those are not matchups that are series that you would think the Pac-12 necessarily has a big advantage in at all. In fact, the American is a terrific conference this year. Mountain West probably is out, right, for obvious reasons. There's not many options. I wouldn't do something with Conference USA. I think that is dropping down too far competitively. I'm not sure the MAC works because a lot of those MAC schools have deals with the Big Ten. I just don't know that they've got any good options, and they may have to go to the home-and-home thing at least for 1 year.
Sunbelt's got some options, but I just wonder about, you know, you need to play these games in September, ideally. Can you get that arrangement, not maybe formally, but can you get that conference maybe to open a window for you? Your home-and-home idea, do you worry that it potentially causes more losses within your conference? Because, you know, we always looked at the SEC. We say they play fewer conference games. It's fewer losses. That's so smart.
Yeah.
Is this a move in the wrong direction?
Well, I mean, you'd have to kind of look at the data and see what the details were going to be. But I think that, you know, it also could help your strength of schedule, which is, right, it depends on your options. And if you can help your strength of schedule, that's going to be really important in this new CFP selection process. I mean, that's why these other conferences are going to the 10-game policy, 10 games against other Power Four, because of strength of schedule. So to me, you got to be careful if you're the Pac-12 about weakening your schedule strength and, you know, kind of dumbing down your competition.
John Wilner, Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News. You can find his work at WilnerHotline.com, and you can catch him on Canzano and Wilner, the podcast. Wilner, you can only watch one game this weekend. What are you watching?
Oh, man.
One game only.
You're going to do that to
me? You can only watch one game. I love this.
Washington State, Colorado State.
Oh, no, wow.
I'm kidding. I would probably pick Oregon, Penn State.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
it might not be the best game, but it's going to tell us a lot, right? Like, you know,
it's
kind of
tell us a lot.
I would be tempted to watch Ohio State, Washington.
Yeah.
But I'll be at Oregon, right, Penn State. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly the weekend to have nothing else on the calendar. Just sit on the couch or sit in a, for your case, press box, multiple screens going. It's a terrific. This is kind of the weekend that defines college football.
Oh, I love it. All right, John Wilner, you're the best. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
A defining weekend in college football. You heard it there from Wilner. Great stuff on today's show. We'll talk about the Penn State whiteout coming up. Also, the 5 at 5 coming up next. I want you to leave it here. You got the Bald-Faced Truth on a great Friday.